So if you could open up your Bibles, please, and read from the first book of the book of Isaiah, first chapter. Sorry. Before we begin, I'd just like to pray. Father, we give you thanks for bringing us here. And we give you thanks, O Lord, for the opportunity, O Lord, to read thy word. Father, may it please you, Lord, to bless this reading of thy word, O Lord, for our souls, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory. Undertake for me, Lord, I do ask and pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, the kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire, your land, strangers devoured in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hands to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a troubling unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And the text I hope to preach from tonight is verse 18. The title of this sermon will be God Reasons With Us. Here in chapter 1 of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah the prophet speaks to the nations of Israel. The description in chapter 1 is similar to our nation, and even more striking sometimes in regard to ourselves individually. We know it is God speaking, for Isaiah says in verse 2, "For the Lord hath spoken." And here in verse 2, God talks of His children, His creation, who He nourished and raised. As a result of God's goodness to His children, what did they do? God says, "They have rebelled against me." We too have rebelled against God. Some for a longer time, some for a shorter time. But God has had mercy on some of us, according to His loving kindness, and saved us. In contrast, verse 3, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." The ox and the ass know their master, who their master is. And as a result, these animals acknowledge where their food will be coming from. We had a dog for a short time, and this dog is trained in such a way, even this dog, around his feeding time, he would just come and make himself known in the kitchen. You almost had drip over him, and that was a dog. We too often, as God's creation, don't even give thanks privately, let alone publicly, for our daily food and provisions. We take it for granted the supply of our needs from God's mercies towards us. In verse 3 it is written, "Israel doth not know." What do they not know? They don't know who they belong to, nor do they consider. They don't even give it any thought. And how often that is familiar in our own society. People don't even think about the things of God. Does this not remind us of ourselves here in 2018? Only you can answer. Verse 4 is an indictment against our nation. Today here in Canada, we now seem to live in a time when good is evil and evil is good. Yet God gets personal again and talks about His creation. That's us, His people He made. How that they are corruptors and they have forsaken the Lord. They have gone away, backward. What caused this? Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." It's a beautiful verse, and it says, Isaiah says here, "Your God," and yet it is your sins, that being our sins, have separated us from the Lord. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And verse 6 is an incredible description of our total depravity and our inability to redeem ourselves. "From the sole of foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." We are the dead, the dying, and the undone. Romans 6:23 reminds us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Putrefying sores reminds us of our sin, but here they have never been dealt with. They are not bound up to heal. They are left to fester and to rot. Essentially, they haven't repented. It says they have not been closed. Verses 12 to 15 deals with the deceitfulness of our vain religious attempts to appease God. We come before Him with what we think is good and acceptable. Cain did the same. Cain thought his offering was good, but Cain disobeyed. If you read in Genesis 3:21, Genesis 3:21, "Unto Adam also and his wife, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." So here, Adam and Eve knew what the cost was in order to have their sins washed away. And Adam and Eve, the conclusion you have to reach, if Abel knew what to do with the offering that he gave, they taught both their sons. But one disobeyed. One thought otherwise. Oftentimes, God does not ask us to think what we think is right and wrong, but God tells us to obey. Scripture says it is better to obey than sacrifice. Verse 16 says, "Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil." Here is a call to repentance. Wash you, make you clean. Put away your evil doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. And another bit in verse 17, learn to do well. And now I come to my text. Come now and let us reason together. And I hope to deal with the compassion of God, the confession of your sins, and the comfort of your soul, that being Jesus Christ, the Savior. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Today, even this day, God still says to us, come now and let us reason together. David says in Psalms 86:15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. He says this to us today. We who have rebelled, his creation, like the children of Israel in verse 2. The Bible says in Job chapter 5 verse 7, man is born into trouble. Job 14 verse 1, says man is born of a woman, is full of few days and full of trouble. And if we look to Romans chapter 3, it's a very good description. Chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12. In regards to our state before the Lord. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. These no, not one words include you, and they include me. It reminds us of what we have already said in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, in regards to our sins. Yet here is God in mercy, here is God in mercy calling unto us. Come now and let us reason together. Matthew Henry says, the God of heaven condescends to reason. The case with those that contradict him and find fault with his proceedings. And actually, in the Hebrew, in Isaiah chapter 1, it actually says, come on now. The emphasis being from the Lord. As we would say in our vernacular English language, get with the program. God's compassion towards us is so great that it is written in 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In Alan Cairns' book, The Dictionary of Theological Terms, propitiation is, quote-unquote, the appeasement of turning away of God's wrath against sinners by means of an atoning sacrifice. So Romans 3:25 teaches Christ, by the shedding of his blood, turned away God's wrath. And like the Lord says, come now and let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If we could turn to Psalm 111:4. in regards to the Lord. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Psalm 112, verse 4. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. We could turn to the book of Micah, chapter 7. There's two verses in there I would like to read. Verses 18 and 19 in Micah chapter 7. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. And this is a good one for the believers. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue all our iniquities. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Jesus, like God the Father, has compassion upon us. Also, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed the sick. And I would really like to pay attention to the fact of the love of God. And it says, Jesus went forth. That means none of us went forward. He made the first move. The Bible says we're dead in trespasses and sins. It's really hard for a dead man to make the first move. And here the Lord says, and Jesus went forth. Luke chapter 7, verse 13. And when he saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. I love those verses, because it shows how it comes from the Lord. The compassion he has from us doesn't come from anything of us. It comes from the Lord. And Luke 15:20. One of my favorite parts of the Bible. And this is in regards to the prodigal son. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. And had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And that's what the Lord does to us. He sees us far away in our estate, in our sins, and He has compassion, and He loves us. Now I come to the confession of your sins. We read here, it says, verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." And then it says here, "Though your sins." What do we do with those sins? How do we deal with those sins? "Though your sins be as scarlet." Verse 16 says, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, and cease to do evil. Learn to do well." Here we have repentance. Proverbs 28:3. "He that covereth his own sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." It's one thing to acknowledge that you're a sinner. It's another thing to forsake. If we could please turn to Romans chapter 10. And we'll start at verse 9. It says, it's written here, Lord, the Word of God says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here in verse 9, it says, if you confess with thy mouth, and then here's the key, folks, believe in thine heart, thou shalt be saved. It's more than just words. We have to believe in our heart. Peter says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Just like we read, "Though your sins be as scarlet." Luke 13:3 says, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." 1 John 1, verse 9, which we know so well, some of us, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now I'd like to come to the comfort of our soul, that being Christ Jesus, our Savior. Our text says, "Though your sins," that being ours, "be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." A reference here in Isaiah to the scarlet, actually historically speaking, is to a town called Tyre. It was on the coast, and they were famous for its dye. They were famous for its dye through worms. But even more so of the scarlet color of the dye that they put in fabric, they were more famous for what they called a double dye. And that's what they were famous for. And this double dye in this fabric that they made, the cloth that they made, was extremely hard to fade, go away, whatever you want to call it. That's what they were known for. And this is the reference in regards to "though your sins be as scarlet," Isaiah was talking about. How do we rid ourselves of our sins and the penalty attached to them? Jeremiah again 33, verse 3 says, "Call unto me," the Lord says, "and I will answer thee." How do we go about this? We pray. We read in Psalm chapter 12, verse 1, the first two words, I think they're pretty good words. It says, "Help, Lord." The first two words of Psalm 12, verse 1, "Help, Lord." That's pretty simple. You don't need justification for that one. We could look to Matthew chapter 11. Verses 28 to 30. Here's the Lord Jesus, and he says, "Come unto me." Sorry. We just read here in verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together." And here the Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Jesus says, "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." In Mark 5, verse 36, the Lord says, "Be not afraid. Only believe." We could look at Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. And these are pretty important verses. "For when we are yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." That's us. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love towards us." There is his compassion. In that, while we were yet sinners, there's the Lord coming forth again. He's doing the action. He's going forward. What is he doing? He's loving us before we loved him. "But God commandeth his love toward us," as it says in verse 6, "the ungodly, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies," and as sinners, that's what we are. We are like we read, those children, we rebel against God, we're enemies. "If, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son," that being Christ Jesus, "much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And this points out the fact that Christ rose from the dead. He died to pay the penalty that we owe to God the Father. He paid the penalty. He was the propitiation of our sins, but even better yet, he rose from the dead. Jesus saith, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And we heard Armin a couple of weeks ago in regards to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And I'd like to read a couple more verses. Psalm 103, verse 12. It was read this morning by Dwayne. I thought it was pretty unusual, but the Lord knows those things, and I thought that was pretty neat. And this verse tells us some things that the Bible doesn't say, but it says it actually does say it. It says, "For as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." It doesn't say north and south. And if you look at a globe, you won't find east and west. So here the Lord gives us a verse for simpletons like me, and it says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. My sins are so far." If you go to a cartographer, they have north and south. There is no east and west. No man can find east and west, and that's how far our sins are removed. John 3:16, everybody knows quite often, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But have you ever read John 3:18? "He that believeth on him is not condemned." And if you're not condemned, and you believe in the Lord Jesus today, you will be redeemed. But here's the warning Scripture gives: "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." We read earlier, to confess with the mouth, but to believe with the heart. May the Lord see fit to bless the reading of his word. Father, I just ask and pray, O Lord, that thy word would go forth sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, O Lord, your sinners of the heart, O Lord. May thy word, Lord, not come back void. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.